at weft.org and click the Donate Now button. All of your donations are certainly appreciated and very much used. Thank you so much, and stay tuned now for Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nyswander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Ann Morris, Chief of Communications and External Affairs at Little City, and she'll be talking about the new IDD Navigator, a new public digital platform that connects families, caregivers, and self-advocates to more than 550 support service providers statewide. But first, disability news for the week of August 25th, 2025. Recent federal legislation is set to broaden and strengthen ABLE accounts, which allow people with disabilities to save without losing Medicaid or other benefits. ABLE accounts let individuals save up to $100,000 while keeping Social Security and other supports with no cap on Medicaid eligibility. Funds can be spent on disability-related expenses like education, housing, health care, and transportation, and earnings are tax-free. The new provisions, part of President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act, passed in July, making several rules permanent. Workers with ABLE accounts may continue saving extra if they lack an employer retirement plan. As of June, almost 214,000 ABLE accounts held over $2.5 billion following a record year of growth in 2024. Participation is expected to rise further in 2025 when eligibility expands from people with disabilities onset before age 26 to those with onset before age 46, nearly doubling the eligible population from 8 million to 14 million people. Many people with disabilities prefer trains over planes, but a new report shows Amtrak still falls short in meeting their needs. The Amtrak Office of Inspector General reviewed booking systems, train travel, 8 stations, disability group feedback, and customer complaints. The report released this summer found accessibility issues at nearly every stage. Designated seating was often blocked by storage, food service was inaccessible, and requesting station assistance was not always possible. Online booking lacked station-specific information, while audio and video messaging at stations was inconsistent. Nearly 40% of disability complaints involved poor boarding or deboarding assistance, leading auditors to urge stronger staff training, better communication, and improved access to amenities. The report also called for Amtrak to create a comprehensive strategy and track complaints more effectively. Amtrak President Roger Harris said a new strategic framework is underway and due in March. The company agreed to address training, communication, amenities access, and complaint tracking as recommended. And finally, more than a decade after federal officials extended minimum wage and overtime protections to most in-home care workers, the Trump administration is moving to roll them back. The U.S. Department of Labor has proposed rescinding a 2013 rule and reverting to 1970 standards that classify in-home caregivers as, quote, companions, similar to babysitters, making them exempt from many labor protections. Officials argue that the Obama-era rule raised costs for providers without improving wages, slowed industry growth, and made services less accessible. If finalized, the change could exempt up to 3.7 million agency-employed home care workers from wage and overtime rules, though some states' protections would remain. Supporters, including Representative Tim Walberg of Michigan, say removing the rule would lower costs for families and expand access, but critics warn it would destabilize an already strained workforce. The Paraprofessional Healthcare Institute and groups like the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network argue the rollback would increase turnover, raise recruitment costs, and diminish quality of care. According to Tori Cross of Caring Across Generations, quote, "This proposed rule would worsen the existing workforce crisis by making home care jobs even less stable with lower wages and fewer overtime protections," end quote. Public comments on the proposal are open only through September 2nd. And that's the news for this week.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need fun.
That's what I want.
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 Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM, and I'm happy to welcome to the program today Ann Morris, who called in. Ann is the Chief of Communications and External Affairs at Little City, and she's going to be talking about the new IDD Navigator, which is this new public digital platform connecting families, caregivers, self-advocates to support service providers across the state. Welcome to the program, Ann.
Thank you, Vicki. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Why don't we start by having you introduce yourself and a little bit about Little City.
Sure. So I came to Little City a couple of years ago. I've had a lengthy career in communications and government affairs and came across this mission here at Little City, which is to provide services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We have a large operation here in Palatine, Illinois, the northwest suburbs of Chicago. We serve about 1,000 children and adults with IDD, for anything from residential programs. We have a 56-acre campus here in Palatine, Illinois, with residential housing for adults, also for children. We house about 50 children here and I think about 150 adults. And we have a wide variety of other kinds of programming, like day programming in a couple of other different facilities in Schaumburg and Grays Lake, Illinois. We have an arts program. We have a horticulture program, recreation and fitness, Special Olympics. You name it, we're doing it here at Little City for folks with IDD.
And what is How is a Little City labeled as a provider? Is it an intermediate care facility? Is it a combination of different kinds of facilities?
We are not an ICF or an intermediate care facility. We provide apartment style living for adults who are on varying levels of independence.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some homes that are like community living facilities. We have some more supported living arrangements. We have CILAs around the community, so those are, as your listeners probably know, community integrated living arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Group homes for adults, we have 16 of those around the suburbs here in our surrounding area here where we have all adults living out in the community, integrated into the community, and they come in for day programs and such. So I would just describe us as a provider that provides residential as well as day programming and other types of programming for both children and adults with IDD.
Okay, well that helps for everyone to understand, you know, the basis that you come from here, and obviously one of the bigger providers in the state of Illinois. So mm-hmm. Let's talk about the IDD Navigator. This is a new effort on behalf of several organizations, right?
Yes. So IDD Navigator, which you can find at IDDNavigator.org, very simple to find, is a wonderful resource that started germinating a couple of years ago here at Little City when I first started. And we were talking amongst our team and with other providers in Illinois about the need for a centralized resource hub for families. We heard a lot from families that we work with, as well as others in the community, that it was a little bit of a confusing maze to try to navigate government resources for folks when they are just starting out on their journey to find services for their loved one who may have IDD. And we heard a very consistent theme that was a confusing network of different websites that people had to go to. So we thought, why don't we come up with a centralized source where all you could go to one website, you could do a very detailed search for what you're looking for, and or you can just browse around and see what's out there. And so lo and behold, it's been a couple of years in the making, but a very instrumental piece of this is that the Coleman Foundation gave us two grants. We're now in our second year of a grant from the Coleman Foundation to develop this resource because they're very interested in system-wide, statewide improvement for the system.
Right. So give me some examples of how people might be drawn to using this particular website. I mean, there is the state of Illinois, you know, their website has some of this information, I'm sure, but maybe not quite as easy to navigate.
Yeah, I think what this does is it kind of cuts to the chase for people who are looking very specifically for this world of resources, the IDD world. You know, the state of Illinois is a big, there's a lot of resources and a lot of different websites. This is a place for people who they may have a child who has just been diagnosed and they're looking for, where do I go? How do I start? Where do I begin my journey? Most parents know you go to your school district, but they might come to this site and they would see our Get Started page and they would know, they'd be able to scroll down and see a section for children specifically, and that will detail how they start their journey for finding resources. And it could be also an adult, a family who has an adult who has maybe an intellectual disability and they are lacking for things to do during the day because perhaps they can't be employed, but they're looking for activities, things to do in the community. And they could also find that by going to IDD Navigator.
Oh, sure. And everyone wants to have a life, whether they right. have a job or not. So,
of course.
What's a family member's first step when they're looking for services for their child or their adult child?
So the first step, of course, is to find your independent service coordinator. So you'll hear, I should mention, too, there are lots of acronyms in this, as you probably know,
being
a parent of a young woman with a disability. There are so many acronyms, and so our site also offers a page of acronym definitions. So ISC is an acronym you'll hear a lot, and that is for Independent Service Coordinator. And that is the beginning of your journey, whether you're working for an adult or a child. You need to find your Independent Service Coordinator who can help identify services to help your loved one from individual planning to crisis intervention to what may be needed. But finding your ISC is the first step, and that is very clearly outlined on our Get Started page on IDD Navigator.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the website right now, and so hopefully you can walk me through the steps
sure.
on how to use this and help people do it in the future. So once people identify their Independent Service Coordinator in this area, that would be Prairie Land Service Coordination out of Decatur. What's their next step then?
So their step there would be to get in touch with that person or that agency that will help assign their case to a case manager. And then that person will start to help navigate through the journey. And that might be things like assessments for behavior needs,
mm-hmm.
and walking you through pre-admission screening process, helping you qualify for the home and community-based services waiver through Medicaid, getting a placement on the PUNS list, which, if your listeners don't know, that's a prioritization for urgency of need for services. Quite a mouthful, but I believe the state is moving to just list it as the PUNS list, and that is essentially a waiting list for services.
Right.
And so that's what your ISC will walk you through.
And then when you actually get on the PUNS list and hopefully at some point in the future are awarded, or you get your letter getting you services, is there something that people need to do in the meantime?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, really, IDD Navigator fills that gap in many ways because as you probably know, the PUNS list waiting time can stretch into years. There are, I think, well over 16,000 people on that list right now in Illinois waiting for services, a subset of about 30,000 people who are using or, you know, waiting to use services in Illinois. So it is tens of thousands of people who are impacted by that wait time, and it can be excruciating for families. I mean, we've heard from all number of different families as we developed this site that they're looking for what to do in the meantime. So exactly to your question, you can go on IDD Navigator and look into the resource library where you can either put a very detailed search term into like a general search bar, or you can use any number of, there's six different search filters, if you will. So you can put in if you're looking for a child or an adult or a senior, you can put in what kind of service. You can go as specific as, I am looking for music therapy for my child, and I am in central Illinois. And you could put those three factors into your search, and you could come up with a landing page that essentially gives you a number of different options to choose from for how to find that service in your community. And then it leads you right to that resources website. And then you can, from there, contact that service agency or that service provider and investigate whether your loved one might be a fit.
Yeah. And is there, within the resource categories, are there programs that are provided that are not run by DD providers, but just community programs? Or is it?
Oh, yes. Yes. Probably the vast majority of the 550 provider resources on the site are individual community service providers like a Little City or other, you know, similar types of providers who provide community-based services right in their communities. So these are not government-run services. Although there is a filter for government agencies because, as you know, there's 10, maybe 10 of them listed here on the site that you might come across in your search for, in your journey, I guess, to find services. But the vast majority of these are, you know, individual service providers in the community.
And you and I both know how complicated this system can be for parents. I'm assuming that the ultimate hope for this website is to help ease that process for family
members. Yes, I mean, really, it's the first resource of its kind. It's the first time that this many resources has been put together in one place that is a free public-facing tool that is designed to help families. And, you know, it's really a sort of a trusted starting point. And it's reliable information. It has been vetted. We feel that we are very hopeful about its ability to relieve the struggle that families go through in trying to find services. If I could relay one little story, we had a family focus group, one of many that we did as we were developing the site, and a mother named Danielle told us that she had twin 9-year-olds who both have autism. And her son, there was a girl and a boy twins, and both had autism, and the son also had a genetic form of epilepsy. Mm-hmm. And they were 9 years old, and she said in her area of Chicago, it was like a resource desert. She had nowhere to go for these kids. she didn't know where to turn, and there wasn't anything really local for her. So when we brought this idea of a resource that you could plug in your location and plug in your very specific need and find something, she said it would be a godsend, is how she put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so has she found anything yet?
You know, I need to follow up with her. I don't know, but I should follow up and just see if she's been able to find something for her kids, her son especially. She was looking for resources.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept because I have a friend who has an adult son with pretty significant disabilities, a combination of Down syndrome and autism, and he is nonverbal, and he is, has many, many physical needs, and has had a difficult time finding a place now that he's graduated from his high school program, what he can do, where he can go during the day, and most of the providers in her area that she's talked to cannot serve him.
So, you know, and that's a really good point, because that transition period when youth turn 22, as you know, mm-hmm. they lose their funding to a significant extent. And so their funding is not, the way the state is structured, it does not follow the person. The funding does not follow the person. And so there are many youth who age out of services at that age, and they're left, you know, wondering, where do I go now? And so that is also a great function of IDD Navigator, is that someone looking for a transition program, or again, an adult program where their loved one can, you know, enjoy a quality of life and doing something fulfilling during the day, this is a great resource for that transition population.
Yeah. So what are the different areas that are covered on the website, so that people understand what's there? Obviously, there's a list of providers, and you can plug right. in the information about where you're located and what your needs are. Is there anything else that might be interesting or useful for people?
Yes. So across the top of the, when you go on the site, there's a whole, you know, navigation across the top. Mm-hmm. And one of the offerings under resources is a media library. And this is just getting started, so just be aware, I'd like your listeners to know that we're constantly building this up. We'll be adding much more, like webinars and videos and things like that. For now, we have articles. So, for example, there's an article right here about from the AARP about how parents can build a support system for adult children with disabilities. There are articles about Special Olympics, about adoption. So the media library is a great resource. There's also the Get Started page, which I have mentioned, which, again, if someone, you know, if they go to the resource index and they're just overwhelmed with, I don't know what to put in the search bar, I don't know where to start, you can just go to the Get Started page and it'll guide you. I also mentioned acronyms. We have quite an extensive list of acronyms that are thrown around a lot in conversations in seeking services, and so this is a great place for anybody who's a newbie. I'm 2 years into this industry, and I'm still learning acronyms.
Oh, there are always new ones coming up, too.
And there's also a pretty robust FAQ, you know, frequently asked questions. And then finally, there is a provider section. So if you are a provider, say, like a little city or someone, and you want to either update, or maybe you don't see yourself as a provider listed on the site and you would like to be listed, then you can go to that page and let us know that you'd like to be listed on the site, or that you have an update for us.
And do you have I see you have a contact section there. Are you looking for people to offer suggestions and other resources for you to add to this website?
Absolutely. So we have a contact page, and it is, to sign up for our newsletter, we're going to be starting a monthly newsletter in September, mm-hmm. and you can sign up there, but you can also, in the message box, you can tell us anything you'd like to tell us about. We're definitely looking for feedback. I would love feedback from you, Vicki, since you're experienced as a parent in this realm. But yes, you can get in touch with us through the contact form.
And how, you know, I've been familiar with the program from the Arc of Illinois, the Illinois Lifespan Program.
Yes.
How is that different from what you're doing here?
Well, that's a good question. It is actually very similar, what Lifespan has created. And we're looking to just enhance other resources out there. So it's very similar to what Lifespan has done. And so we're just hoping to be another resource for folks.
Yeah. Well, I would hope that a lot of the things that they have information on, they would share with all of you to make sure that stuff gets included in the new website as well.
Yes. In fact, we've worked very closely with the Arc of Illinois on developing this site, as well as other state associations like IARF, which is the Illinois Association of Rehabilitation Facilities, and the Institute for Public Policy for People with Disabilities. We have quite a number of partnerships with different, what I call, trade groups in our industry, and we've worked. They are all very aware of this, and they've all provided input as well.
Yeah. Well, anytime you bring another easy to manage and easy to navigate resource to families, it's going to be much used and much appreciated, I'm sure.
Right.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say we've even heard from state officials that they are impressed with it and they're happy to see the resource.
Yeah. So. Great. That's awesome. So, what is your hope long term for this website? Are there other things that you'd like to add, or are you still just in the planning and development stages?
Well, that's a really good question. Of course, we have dreams about what we would like to see. I think there are some things that are going to be down the road, like we'd like to develop a blog, for example, so that we have regular articles that are created by subject matter experts from all different sources, right, around the state on different topics that might be of interest to families. We are going to be developing a newsletter. We still don't know yet about, like, continued funding in terms of just ongoing support. It will continue, but whether we can add a lot of new bells and whistles will depend on funding, of course.
Of course.
But, you know, things like maybe even adding a chat bot or adding, some kind of live chat or something like that to help people. Mm-hmm. I will say, too, there are a couple tools on here that I think are especially helpful. We have a translate function where one can find a variety of different languages on the site. So you can just plug in that you want the site to be in all Spanish, and the entire site will be translated into Spanish. We also have an accessibility button at the bottom. It's like a little stick figure at the bottom right of the site, and that will allow all kinds of different ways to view the site if you have different types of needs. So if you are vision impaired or you need a seizure safe profile or what have you, then that provides you all of those options as well.
Yeah, sounds good. I have one suggestion for you already.
Oh yes, I'd love to hear it.
If you could find a way to help parents connect with each other or provide resources for parent groups that are currently existing that serve different populations, I think that could be really helpful for family members.
Yes, some type of a forum. I like that. Yeah.
So the website, we are running out of time, Anne, but I want to give you a chance to give the contact information one more time for your website. And we'll call
it. Please visit us at IDDNavigator.org. Yeah. And that is all just one word together, IDDNavigator.org.
Where you can do everything, including making suggestions. So thank you so much for joining me, Anne Morris.
Thank you for having me.
Chief of Communications and External Affairs at Little City. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vicki. Have a good evening.
You too. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week. No, I'm staying.